Welcome to Community Bible Church. Our mission is to know Christ intimately and share Him lovingly. This Sunday marks the beginning of our Global Missions Conference. We are privileged to have Steve Schmidt bring us today's message. He shares Psalm 46 with us and encourages us to align our purpose with the eternal purpose of God. For more information or to find out how you can be involved, visit cbcomaha.org.
Our theme for this missions conference is be obedient. And we want to be in that place when the call of God comes and is on our life. And if He is moving us in our life, we want to be in that position where our response is yes. Whatever He asks us to do, wherever He's moving us individually or as a church, that our answer would be yes. And the message that I would like to share with you this morning is from Psalm 46. It's a great missions psalm. And the title is Aligned with God's Purpose, No Fear. It's a psalm that outlines, as many passages throughout Scripture do, God's very purpose for history. But then also an invitation for us to align our lives with that purpose and to face those fears that hold us back from fully engaging. So if you have your Bibles, I do encourage you to turn to Psalm 46, and let's read through this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As we look at that psalm, first thing we see, verse 10, is God's eternal purpose. Where is history going? From the foundation of the earth to now, to the end of the earth. What is God's eternal purpose? And David said, or God said through David, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. When this history comes to a close, sitting on the throne, and there's only one throne, sitting on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not simply aspirational. This is historical. This is prophetic. Jesus Christ will be that king on the throne. And gathered around that throne will be the nations, every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. God says, I will be exalted on the earth. And the Lord Jesus met with His disciples, 11, and He gave them a command. You will be My witnesses. I'm going to use you, and you're going to make disciples of the nations. If only it were that easy. If only it were that simple. But the truth of the matter is, there are strong forces that keep us from fully engaging in God's purpose. We want to look at that this morning. Let me describe it this way. The scripture tells us that in ages past, there was a rebellion against the very authority of God. And in the Garden of Eden, that rebellion encompassed mankind. And ever since that rebellion, people on this earth have fallen into three camps. The first camp, which is the largest, is the kingdom of darkness. I'm sorry, you can't read that very well, but the kingdom of darkness, knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or unconsciously, people who are still in darkness are supporting and are part of the rebellion against God. There's a second camp, and that's those who have been called out of the darkness into the kingdom of light. They have given their allegiance to the Lord Jesus as King, and they have aligned their life with his purpose. They have aligned their life with his purpose of redemption and restoration. Jesus calls them disciple makers. The Apostle Paul called them ambassadors of Christ or ministers of reconciliation. But there's a third camp. That is those people who also have been called out of the kingdom of darkness. They also have given their allegiance to the King, the Lord Jesus, but for one reason or another are standing at a distance. They're keeping a safe distance. And the primary reason is fear. The people in the third camp, which is amongst the people in the light, that's the largest camp. The people in the third camp sense they have something to lose. And so they stand at a distance. Ironically, the people who are in the second camp are those who today are often the ones in the second camp are those who are living in persecution, who live in the most difficult circumstances. And the reason is because the pleasures of this world has very little to offer them in terms of comfort or security. Their eye is looking past this life. And they're bold. They're fearless in their testimony. There was a book written a few years ago by a guy who goes by the name of Nick Ripken. And in this book, it's called The Insanity of God. In this book, he's interviewing people who had lived through persecution. And he interviews this pastor in Eastern Bloc country, and he had been through some of the worst persecution. And in the interview, the pastor has this word for those of us who are living in relative freedom. He says, "Don't ever give up in freedom what we would never give up in persecution. That is our witness to the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't ever give up in freedom what we would never give up in persecution." And yet many of us are doing just that. We give up the privilege we have to be the ambassadors of Christ, to be those ministers of reconciliation, because we actually do live in relative comfort. We are shielded from the disdain and the rejection of the world. Where the risks appear to us at times as lower. Why would we put ourselves in a position where we would lose all of that? And yet, the New Testament, many of the exhortations of the New Testament are encouragements to us to move from that third camp into the second camp. The Apostle Peter said, "In your hearts, set apart Christ." Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And the Apostle Paul said, "Present your bodies as living sacrifices." Psalm 46 is an excellent psalm for those of us here who are saying, "I'm moving camp. I'm no longer going to be in the camp where we stand at a safe distance. I'm aligning my life with his eternal purpose. He will be exalted among the nations. And the psalm starts off with, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The psalm says we have a sanctuary, we have a refuge. His strength becomes our strength. An ever-present help means literally very, very near. In trouble, God is very, very near to us. This is very important as we consider his call on our life and we prepare to say yes. But you know what our problem is? Sometimes we wonder, is that really true? Is God really there when trouble comes? In 2015, when over 70 churches in Niger were attacked and burnt to the ground in 2 days, where was the ever-present help? In 2016, when a missionary with another mission was abducted and is still in captivity today, where is the ever-present help? Sometimes we ask the question, can God really be trusted to show up? Jerry Bridges, in his book, Trusting God, says, sometimes it feels like it's easier to obey God than it is to trust him. But if we're going to consider God's purpose in this world and consider his call in our lives to align our lives with his purpose, we have to make sense of trouble. Until we make sense of trouble, we're going to always subconsciously be moving to that third camp and keeping our distance from the risks that may be involved with aligning our lives with God's purpose. There's three things you need to know about to make sense of trouble. Is number one, trouble will come. Number two, God is in control. And number three, God is with us. Trouble will come. You know, even standing in camp number three is really just an illusion of safety. Trouble finds us. D.A. Carson says, if you have not experienced trouble yet in your life, just wait. Live long enough, trouble will find you. Trouble is always one phone call away. That phone call that says one of your children has made a bad decision, or that there's been an accident, or the doctor gives us bad news. Trouble finds us. Jesus said, in this world, you will know trouble. You will know trouble. But we also need to know, that God is with us. So the psalmist describes trouble in terms of natural disaster. Imagine the worst natural disaster you can think of. Imagine that the earth were just underneath this church or your house or your community were to crumble. And if we were near a body of water, it would just fall into the sea. Probably people in western and northern Nebraska are experiencing something like that as they watch the waters rise. That's trouble. Or imagine a mountain, the most stable topography we know of, crumbling. Or remember the tsunamis, the early 2000s, that crashed into the shore. Imagine a tsunami crashing so hard that it actually shook the mountains. Imagine the devastation. That's the picture the psalmists use. And when trouble comes into our lives, sometimes it feels like an earthquake. Sometimes it feels like a tsunami hitting us. But the psalmist says, we will not fear because God is our refuge. So the first part of the psalm is very noisy. You have these loud crashing waters and shaking earth. And then the psalm gets quiet. And he says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Well, this part of the psalm is actually also a reference to trouble. It's probably a historical reference back to 701 BC, when the city of Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrian army. And King Hezekiah very wisely, before the siege, had piped a spring underground into the city of Jerusalem. And it was that small stream that kept the besieged people of Jerusalem alive. But it was only a matter of time. They were completely surrounded by the Assyrian army. It was only a matter of time. That city was going to fall. Except that God, in the night, visited Jerusalem and he slew the Assyrian army. They woke up the next morning. When the sun came up, the Israelites looked out, and there was 185,000 dead Assyrian soldiers. God is with her, within her. She will not fall, and God will help her at break of day. We have to know trouble will come, but the promise of God is that he will not let the dark night of trouble go on forever. He will bring his comfort. He will bring his healing. Trouble will come. The second thing we have to know is God is in control. Yes, there is a rebellion against God that is raging. He says, nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The places where you're sending your missionaries today, they're seeing nations in an uproar. We often feel like in Niger, we're a bit of an island in a sea of trouble. To the north, we have Algeria and Libya. Mali has been in turmoil. Down in the south, in Nigeria, there's Boko Haram and their attempts to destabilize and overthrow the government. And Burkina Faso, the country we thought was the most stable, they're losing their war on terror. And even within our own borders, we see the nations are in an uproar. But the encouraging thing is, the second part of that verse says, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. The God who lifted his voice and brought this earth into existence, all he has to do is lift his voice one more time and the earth would be completely melted. At no point, no matter what the trouble is, does God lose control. And looking forward to the day when he will lift his voice and the heaven and earth that we know will be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth will come. Thirdly, God is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty, all the resources of heaven are with us. He is the Lord of hosts. I can't help seeing the parallel between this psalm and what Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. He gave them that command, you will be my witnesses. You will make disciples of all nations. They were 11 men with very few resources. That was a very heavy call on their lives. Before those men could say yes to that call, they needed to know two things. Number one, that this Lord that they are following is in control. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Yes, I am in control. They also needed to know that he would be with them. And his last words to his disciples was, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Trouble would come, but they knew God was in control and that he was with them. And for that reason, they could say yes. Well, the rebellion will not last forever. Verse 8 and 9 says, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought upon the earth. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns the shield with fire. He will not allow this rebellion to go forever. The very instruments of war, the symbols of man's pride and arrogance and thirst for power, will be broken. And when he lifts his voice, there will be peace on this earth. The nations will stop raging. The psalm is noisy with the crashing mountains and the water, and then it gets quiet to that peaceful stream, and then it gets noisy again with the nations raging, and then it gets quiet. It comes down to the voice of God, be still. The whole psalm is in the third person until we get to verse 10, and the voice of God breaks in, and he says, be still. I will be exalted amongst the nations. Be still and know that I am God. That's the voice that calms the raging nations, but it's also the voice that calms the fears in our own heart. So where do we fit in? This short time that we have on earth, these few short years, how do they fit into the big picture of what Christ is doing in bringing this history to conclusion? Well, I want to encourage you that once we take fear off the table, actually, maybe the task isn't as difficult as we think it is. Since Mickey and I have gone to Niger, I've had a practice. Whenever I meet somebody who's come out of a Muslim background, I always ask, what did God use in your life to bring you to faith in Jesus Christ? And I've heard lots of stories, but there's always two things that are common in all the stories. Number one, I had a friend who was a Christian. He was like no other friend I've ever had. That friend loved me. And number two, my friend gave me a Bible, or in some way put the Word of God in front of me. And when I read the scripture, I met Jesus, and Jesus changed my life. A personal relationship and the Word of God. If that's how God is changing the world and drawing people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, what needs to change in our daily planning, our weekly planning, even our monthly planning, to align our lives with his purpose? I have a friend who said, what if we looked at the task as simply this? I mean, only it's the Spirit of God that changes people's hearts. What if our vision was that everybody in the world has at least one Christian friend? Somebody who truly lives out the commands of Christ before them and in some meaningful way puts the Word of God before them. Think about that, how this world would be changed. We're a long ways from that. If the statistics are right, and unless something changes, one-third of the world will live and die without ever having at least one Christian friend in their life. There's a group of men in the New Testament that I admire greatly. They're those men that carried their crippled friend to Jesus. You know that story? They picked him up. They were taking him to Jesus. They got to the house. The house was completely blocked. There was no way in. But they didn't give up. They probably put him down. They looked at that house and they said, hang on. There has got to be a way to get our friend to Jesus. They found a way. It wasn't an easy way. We need that same commitment. We need that same creativity in the 21st century as we think about those places, those hard places where people are living and dying and they do not have a Christian friend or a witness. So maybe we're here morning and we're saying, I don't know how many more years I have left on this earth, but the years that I have, I will spend them with my life aligned with God's purpose. Three encouragements. Number one, be still. Ironically, the way to get started in moving camps is to stop and to be still, because it's only when we're still do we hear the voice of God. And when we hear the voice of God, we instinctively move towards his purpose. When we're hearing the distraction and the noise of this world, fear creeps in, and we, without even knowing it, back away and move into the third camp. Be still. Secondly, live like we have nothing to lose, because in actual fact, we don't. Our years are short here on this earth. Paul said, momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Really, what does this world have to offer us compared to the glory that's waiting for us? And thirdly, let Christ's love compel us. You know, the Lord Jesus was not concerned about that hole in the roof that those men made. I love the Sunday school picture. It's like a nice, square, very neat hole, you know. And everybody underneath has nice, clean clothes. I've seen lots of mud and stick roofs. They made a mess. They made a big mess. But what the Lord Jesus saw was faith motivated by love. If you think about it, when you came to faith in Christ, was there not somebody there who loved you? Wasn't there somebody there who was your friend or your parent, somebody who loved you, who brought you to Jesus? Where does God want us to be? Who is there around us right now that needs a friend, that needs that kind of person in their life? And as a church, as we look out at the world, how are we going to get those people who are living and dying? How are we going to get them to the Lord Jesus? There's got to be a way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We have seen your purpose. When the dust settles, the rebellion comes to an end, and Jesus is on the throne. You will be exalted among the nations. Father, our time is short here in this life. Give us the courage when you call, when you move, Father, give us the courage, and may our answer be yes to following you. Thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to listen to this message again or subscribe to our podcast, visit cbcomaha.org. Thank you for listening.